the corner, back by the Woodpile Podcast. I'm Spun Counter Guy, and welcome to our maiden episode, where we're going to Central China. In 1949, Chairman Mao's Communist Party took over China and almost immediately began restricting all religious activity and eventually imprisoned, tortured, and murdered many adherents, be they Buddhist, Christians, Taoist, or Muslims. After Mao's death in 1976, restrictions on religion eased, but the country still doesn't have the freedom of religion that most in the world would consider reasonable. Religious organizations in China must be officially sanctioned by the government, their activities are closely monitored, and the Communist Party must approve of clergy appointments. The one exception is with Falun Gong, which is completely forbidden, and their members are severely dealt with. Also, the government uses the education system to encourage atheism. I was in China teaching some classes recently, and I met a young college student who called himself Smile. He quietly admitted to me that he was a practicing Buddhist, and we began exchanging ideas. So here's some of our conversations back by the woodpile. Okay, Smile, first of all, how old are you?
21 years old.
How did Buddhism come to China?
In my class, I have a Chinese teacher. He told me some history about it's in the end of the Dong Han Dynasty. The Buddhism come to China. The first have two masters. One is Mo Teng, another name is Zhu Fa Lan. Originally, it's come from India. First temple is located in Luoyang White House Temple. Yeah. Chinese name is Bai Ma Si. And at the first time, Bai Ma Si established translated Buddhism place.
Now, why do they call it White Horse Temple?
You know, the horse, yeah, it's used for kind of transport in Han Dynasty.
So the horse brought all these scriptures? The Buddhist scriptures.
Yeah.
When people come to Luoyang, they often go look at two places. You know, Bai Ma Si is one.
Yeah, another is the Longmen Grottoes.
Yeah, which means dragon gate indentations or small holes where there are all these Buddhas. How many Buddhas are carved into the mountain?
I have been the Longmen Grotto for three times, and according to the tour guide saying, it's more than 17% of the borders distorted by the history. They have some suspect.
Yeah.
One is foreigners robbed them away.
Yeah.
Another is about Japanese.
But the other reason that there's so many Buddhas missing, and this is something that the tour guide cannot say, is during the Cultural Revolution, many Buddhas were destroyed.
That's right. Yeah. But Buddha's tour guide can't to see, can't explain this, because it's the Longmen Grotto is famous all over the world. It's kind of the world people's place of interest. Yeah.
And the government won't allow itself to be embarrassed in front of the world, so they don't let the tour guides tell the truth about this.
Yeah. So it's a distorted by the history.
Yeah. For time, we're jumping through history very, very quickly. All this information you can probably find on your own, those of you who are listening. But something they wouldn't know is, how did you discover Buddhism?
When I was a small boy, first teacher is my grandmother. And my grandmother look after me very well. And every morning, she get up early and read the Buddhism book. Then he will say Amitofo, because Buddhism's name is Amitofo. In my impression, I think Buddhism is very mysterious, and I must to find it the truth in the future. So this is my dream.
Okay.
When I was at the high school, grade 3, I will graduate. At that time, you know, many Chinese students is busy preparing for the entrance college examination. My father and my mother suggested me to watch videos about light harmony. This video is made by the CCTV reporters named Chen Dahui. This video name is 和谐拯救危机. But this reporter quit the job from CCTV because he realized in modern China society, people pursue the fame, money, and the house, car, and the group, and so on. And they lose the important thing. It's one of the important things, the religion and the major education.
So let me ask you this. I know in China that religion, it's tolerated, like it's legal now. It used to be, during Mao Zedong's time, it was illegal, but it's discouraged. In fact, so most of my students, university students, most of them do not believe in the Tao or Fuwa or Qidu Zhao or any of that. But all of their grandparents do. They will write papers about it and they will say, my grandmother is not educated, so she believes in Buddha, or they believe in the Tao or Jesus or something. So you're a young fella and you believe in Buddhism, so you're very rare, I would say, to your generation.
Yeah.
Was it difficult sometimes? Did people ever pressure you?
In China, they believe the materialism and Marxism, Mao Zedong thought.
Yeah.
And most people think they have a good, well-educated. And they began to think they should pursue something, except religion. They pay more attention to themselves, but they ignore others. Yeah, become very selfish. That's why I began to learn Buddhism. Because Buddhism is teach people to change your attitude. Just for example, you and me, we are one body. In college, I established association named the Chinese Traditional Chinese Culture Association. I wanted to let more Chinese college students to inherit our treasured culture. I found that many students, they also ignore it. Because they think it's not the truth.
Yeah,
it's just a religion.
So because you're trying to further educate yourself about Buddhism and pursue this path, you have went to Hong Kong a couple times, right?
Yeah.
And you went to a particular center, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us about that place?
I go to there for twice. Mm-hmm. And the first time I went there is in 2011. At the first time, I go to the Hong Kong Buddhist Education Association, Hong Kong Buddhism Education Association. I went there and I found many young people want to visit the Master Qing Kong, because Master Qing Kong always go to there and have a lecture. One of the volunteer is very kind, and she helped me. First, she just give me a paper and let me to write a letter to master. At that time, I feel very nervous because it's very famous all over the world.
Yeah.
I'm just a small guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm very worried about the visiting. At night, I went to the Victoria Port. The Victoria Port at night, it's a very beautiful all over the world. It's one of the best place to visit in Hong Kong at night. And I found a place and stayed down. I wrote down my feeling about this traveling. And I also want to write down some, I'm very eager to visit you because I have much question to ask you. And at the all night, I just sit at there. And I have no money to book a room in Hong Kong. It's very expensive. So I stay at there for 7 days to wait the Master Qing Kong.
Where did you sleep?
I sleep at McDonald's, because McDonald's is a very safe place.
McDonald's?
Yeah.
So you slept in the chairs at McDonald's?
Yeah.
Oh, and they don't care?
They don't care.
Oh, great.
I just have one resolution. It's I must to visit master 清空 because I wanted to find the truth about the world. And after 7 days, I met the master 清空. I feel very many tears come out. I can't see anything. I can't to explain my feeling because my heart feel very peaceful. From his eyes, it's full of wisdom and very clean. Although he's 85 years old, he looks like a young man. It's full of energy. His skin is as like a baby's skin.
Master Jian Kong also has a little trouble in China, in the mainland, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about this.
You know, Master Jing Kong is very famous all over the world. And he come to mainland. And he established a school. And at that time, the social environment changed a lot. And the people help each other. And very sincere to anyone. But the government, they dislike it because they think if one more people learn from Qing Kong, the government is very threatened. And the government let Qing Kong out of the mainland.
They made him leave the mainland.
Yeah.
I want to ask you one question about your master.
Okay.
You're very attracted to his message. Tell us first, what is the best thing that you've learned from him?
He teaches us your life can change by your heart.
And how?
If a bad person, maybe he have a very rich life. In a short time, you can't find the karma. But in a long period, you can find the karma comes out because his bad heart. A light heart can live long. 静随心转，福田心耕。
So tell me a second thing that you've learned from the master.
Okay, the second thing is 积善之家必有余庆，积不善之家必有余殃。This sentence is from an exchange book, 易经.
The 易经 has 64 hexagraphs.
Yeah, each hexagraph represents different meaning of change. Master Qing Kong teach me how to lead the change to a bright future. 易经 is the final meaning is teach person to avoid the problem, avoid the bad things, and to guide you to a happy life. That's the Yi Jing's true meaning.
You've mentioned a couple times about the Tao. For those of you who don't know, Taoism is the one native religion of China. It's the only one that's come from China.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Taoism existed really before Buddhism in China. The main thinkers in Taoism are Laozi and Zhuangzi, and the main books are the I Ching and the Tao Te Ching. Now, Buddhism and Taoism aren't the same thing, but they are related in China anyway. So can you tell me your understanding of how Taoism is related to Buddhism in China?
I want to use one sentence from the Qing Dynasty Emperor. His name is Qianlong. Ru means Confucius. Shi means Buddhism. Dao means Taoism. Ru Shi Dao. San Jia. Dao Chu Yu Yi Yuan. Tong Chu Yu Yi Yuan. Er Bu Bei Di Er. Ta Dao Li Jiu Bu Xiang Wei Bei. It means these three kind of culture is have a same goals. The goal is lead the person to have a kind heart.
Okay, good. So they share the same goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like most religion. Now, historically, I have heard that the Taoist influenced the Buddhist on Shaolin Temple.
Shaolin Temple.
And the Shaolin version of Buddhism eventually went to Japan, and Zen Buddhism came from Shaolin Buddhism, which came from the Tao, or specifically Zhuangzi. I've heard Zhuangzi had a great influence on the monks at Shaolin. Also, Shaolin is famous in the world for bringing Kung Fu.
Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Shaolin temples. One of the reasons the famous, you know, Tang Dynasty, the second emperor named Li Shimin. At that time, the Shaolin temple's monk helped the Li Shimin. They protect the emperor's use Kung Fu.
Kung Fu, yeah. Well, that, you know, generally Buddhism is not, is supposed to be passive and not use violence. And the whole reason of Buddhism is to not repeat your life, not to come back, not to be reincarnated.
Yeah.
Right. But the monks at Shaolin Se realized that the local people were being abused by local warlords or bosses or people using violence. So they decided that they would make not only the ultimate sacrifice of maybe sometimes getting themselves killed, but also having to repeat their life again because they use violence to protect the people. And then because of this, the second emperor heard about them, asked them to help protect his kingdom. Okay, so let's talk about the things that we're not supposed to talk about in China. First of all, the relationship between the Communist Party and Buddhism, or all religion.
I think in China, the Communist parties control the people's religion. Mm-hmm. It's, for example, like Falun Gong. Mm-hmm. They can destroy the religions.
Destroy?
Yeah, immediately.
Let's start from the beginning. When Mao Zedong took over China in 1949, what was his view on religion and Buddhism specifically?
According to some books and some films, I know Mao Zedong's mother believed Buddha. Mm-hmm. At that time, Mao Zedong was very young, and he just think China need revolution, because at the end of Qing Dynasty, China is very weak. In the world, many foreign countries invade China. I think he wants let more Chinese people to admire him instead of admire Buddha.
Sure.
So he destroyed the Buddha temple and the Confucius temple, and destroyed the many things about culture. You know, in ancient China, many families have their family book. Family book is noted down your family root. Every generation's name and where he living. It's very good. And for me, I know my ancestor named Su Qin. Yeah, it's very famous in before Qin Dynasty. Just like Wen Jiabao's place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the family book can encourage the next generation to make more contribution sorry for the people, or make more contribution to the society. They destroyed the family temple, and they destroyed the family book, and they just want people to join the Communist Party and to have a public share. They want to teach people to change their thought, because China is a big family.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So ignore your small family.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's when they started the communes, and so there was no family kitchen. You had to eat in a canteen with all the people in the village.
Yeah, it's ignore your small family and put every small family together to be a bigger family.
Mm-hmm. If you were a Buddhist monk in the 1950s, what happened to you?
I heard this from my mother. In her class, he will write the big characters paper to write some words about the Buddha is tell the lie,
mm-hmm.
and Confucius is very bad, not scientific.
Yeah.
So they will put the big character paper on your body,
mm-hmm.
if you are a monk,
mm-hmm.
and they will let you stand the thousand people's or hundred people's stand in front of them, and they will criticize you. Some monk is killed. at that time.
Okay, Smile, we're about to wrap it up and say 再见. But before we go, give us a few thoughts.
Okay, I want to say 深信因果
Believe in karma.
Believe karma. Another 心外无法 Meanings, if you want to find a happy life, you can't find it outside because happiness is inner heart experience.
And I want to thank you, Smile, for coming.
Thank you for your interview.
没问题。
再见。
In the Corner, Back by the Woodpile podcast is produced by A Closet, A Pocket, and A Suitcase. You can email us at spuncounterguy@hotmail.com. And a special thanks to thebrofisticate.com.